Christian walk and experience with the Lord is not all about feeling, but I'm glad that I can feel Him. And I do this morning. Amen. Appreciate the opportunity to come, the confidence of Brother Pepper to have me come. Appreciate getting to know them better through the years, the friendships that we have established here, and the ones that we have the opportunity to be in church with here this morning. I appreciate the Gans guys. I've known them for years now and appreciate their life, their ministry. Brother Gans, you've got to be so proud. Sister Gans, you've got to be so proud of your boys and the work that they're doing for the Lord. It's a special thing to me, really, to get to know people. And then some of these guys, you end up becoming contemporaries in the gospel with them. And that's something that I cherish. I appreciate fellow brethren in the gospel. And just looking forward to what the Lord is going to continue to do in these last days. Appreciate that message, Brother John. It was wonderful, encouraging. I've heard a lot this summer, I guess, at different camp meetings, messages that have been preached, encouraging us towards pure worship. You realize how important it is for us to worship Him purely? He would say to the woman at the well that day, you worship you know not what. You're consumed with traditional worship, formal worship, but you really deep down inside don't even know who you're worshiping. And I believe that God is charging us in these last days to come before Him with pure, unadulterated worship. And that's what I want to do. Thank you for that message, brother. Amen. Good to see Brother Switzer. I appreciate him, his messages through the years. Last night while listening to him, I just kind of went down memory lane to several of the messages that have impacted my life as a young man. And I appreciate his ministry. Amen. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. I guess, that I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. And that's a dangerous place to be. So, Sister Gans, you pray for me this morning that I'll get out of here in a timely fashion. Amen. I guess over the last several weeks, I have been constrained in my spirit to study out particular things in Scripture pertaining to the glory of the Lord as it is and has been manifested amongst the people of God, believing that in these last days that God is in fact going to pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God is going to do what He said He would do? Amen. And so it is for us this morning that we desperately need, if we could get our desire to reach the level of our need, there's no telling what God could do for us. But we come oftentimes into the house of the Lord with our need being so extreme, but our desire being so low. And so God meets us sometimes at the level of our desire, and we leave the service having said, I did not get anything from the Lord. Well, you likely got what you desired of Him and did not get what you needed of Him. I would love to leave here this morning getting what I need from Him. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to realize the level of our need. Amen. Exodus chapter 33. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. And then I will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Very familiar portions of Scripture here. And I trust that you'll help me this morning. Amen. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is my people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. The Lord bless His word. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you, if the Lord will help me, for just a few minutes. And I do aim to keep you just a few minutes and get you out of here as quick as I can. There is a distinct contrast between this Old Testament deliverer in Moses and this New Testament dysfunctional church at Corinth. And that one of them, Moses, the great deliverer, as we have often called him, is concerned with that only of power and the presence of God and the glory of the Lord, not only being manifested, but actually being with them, moving with them. And then you have a New Testament church that is operating in absolute dysfunction. And they're not concerned about power. They're not concerned about the presence of the Lord. They're concerned about popularity. They're concerned about prominence, status in the community. Amen. I want to preach to you, the Lord to help me, on presence over prominence. Amen. Presence over prominence. The word glory, in many of its definitions, I feel is best defined, in one of them at least, as a supernatural manifestation of divine attributes or perfections of power. Don't you love the times that God shows up among us and shows us the perfections of His power? When He reveals to us His strong arm. Amen. And we come into the house of the Lord and we are bewildered and discouraged about the circumstances of life. But then God, all of a sudden, Brother Joe Gans, out of nowhere, He lifts us up and causes us to be able to not necessarily come out of the trial, but to be able to see victory on the other side of the trial. I hope the Lord will help us this morning. I don't want to bore you. Amen. So we begin here today with a man that has just led the children of Israel out of an intense, lengthy time of bondage. And Moses is noted as, and we've referred to him as, the great deliverer. I want to ask you a question this morning. I don't want you to say any names out loud, obviously, because that would change the atmosphere of the service this morning. But can you think of anybody that you have met in your lifetime that if they had done what Moses did, they would have wanted everybody to know exactly what they did? Now, I'm sure you're not that person. We would never do anything like that, right? But there are individuals that are seeking prominence more than they are the presence and the power of God in their life. And Lord, help us in these last days as the church, the body of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, His hands extended, amen, His feet extended. God forbid that we would get wrapped up in, so to speak, keeping up with the Joneses, that we are more concerned about our churches having prominence or popularity than we are concerned about them being full of the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are the end time church, are we not? If John testified to living in the last days, then surely we are living in the last
days and the last hours and the last seconds of the last days. My prayer, even in this hour, is, Lord, would you continue to endue us with power from on high. Hallelujah. Do you realize this morning that your infilling with the Holy Ghost was never intended to be a one-time experience? But the book of Acts said that you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Hallelujah. Oh, God, continue to endure us. I don't want to bore you this morning. Brother, I might need a little more monitor up here, if that's all right. I want you to look at this man, Moses. He was keenly aware of the need for the divine guidance and direction of the Lord. That's why we would find him, amen, praying and saying to him, if thy presence go not with me, then carry us not up hence. Lord, if you don't go, then I'm not going. Amen. Lord, if you don't move, then I'm not moving. Amen. Although God had given him the assurance of, that his presence would go with him and that he would give Moses rest, Moses was not contented with anything short of a manifestation or a demonstration of God's glory, confirming to him, amen, that surely the Lord will go before me. Hallelujah. Do you still believe that we serve a God that desires to move and manifest himself within the church? Hallelujah. I would say that I have seen more miracles as of late than I have in my lifetime, which says to me that the days of revival are not over, but they are in fact, I believe, ramping up in these last days, because God is preparing the church, amen, for an end time outpouring of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh God, help me to preach this morning. Amen. Are you tired? Did you stay up late? Amen. Hallelujah. That's camp meeting time, right? It wouldn't be camp meeting without late nights. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all good. God, we need that. But I want you to notice this morning the resolve of this deliverer. Amen. Moses seeks after God and to know God's way. And this is the heart of a man who is concerned only with God's glory and not that of his own. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses did not deliver them from Egypt's bondage and then go about proclaiming all that he had done. Amen. No, Moses was a stuttering man who did not in and of himself have any ability or any power. But God was able to find a man who would identify the fact that I am not an Egyptian. I am a Hebrew. I am not like them, but I am like him. Hallelujah. When God can find a man that he can impute righteousness into, when God can find a man that he can empower, then God has found a man that will be only concerned with the presence and power of God and not that of prominence and popularity of his own self. Hallelujah. We're facing a debacle in our modern church world today. Man, three things that will destroy a church: institutionalism, formalism, and materialism. Amen. Stay with me just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Institutionalism. I remember praying years ago, Pastor, and I felt the Lord speak to me, and it's not a popular thing, I know. It's not going to give me revivals. It's not going to give me in youth camps or camp meetings. But I know the Lord told me one day, I was praying and God spoke to me and said, the demise of any movement is when that movement becomes more concerned about the popularity of its men rather than the power of its message. I'm telling you, church, in these last days we must guard against institutionalism. And when your preaching becomes more about who you are and not about who He is, we've got to step back and say, God, deliver me from this desire for prominence, and let me be concerned only with the presence and power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like preaching to you this morning. Hallelujah. Institutionalism. Amen. We forget about our mission, and we forget about our message, and it's about who we are. It's about how we look, and that's where the dysfunctioning church at Corinth was. They were orators. They were well-dressed. There's nothing wrong with being well-dressed. I've seen a lot of church folk that should be dressing better than they do. Amen. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. There's nothing wrong with carrying yourself well. Amen. But if you're more concerned about this, amen, and not as concerned about the presence of God and the power of the Holy Ghost moving in this service. Yes, I said this service. What is camp meeting if we don't have a move of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. I said, what is camp meeting if God does not visit us? If His presence and His power is not manifested among us? What is revival if no soul is saved and no marriage is restored and no backslider comes home? Oh God, help us in these last days. You need to have a good name in the community. Brother Gans, your church needs a good name in the community. But there's a difference in maintaining a good name and seeking only after prominence with people. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Some of you looking at me funny this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to echo the words of Moses. Amen. Lord, we need a confirmation. Hallelujah. Amen. We need a confirmation. We need some sort of manifestation. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us in this hour. We got a lot of thunder in our churches, but not very much rain. I say, God, send the rain. Send the power. Send a demonstration of your Spirit among us. Don't let us get comfortable. Amen. Seeking after prominence. Oh, give me just a few more minutes. There's a practice here that I believe we must point out. Moses accomplishes this magnificent feat, likely the greatest deliverance the world has ever seen. But immediately following this deliverance, and the waters have crashed in upon Pharaoh. Human tendency is just to say, you know what? God said we'll never see them again. We're cool now. Everything's good. Smooth sailing from here. Nothing to worry about. God's got it all in control. And yes, He does. Oh, but I learned something, Brother Gans, about Moses here. After this great victory that God wrought for him and the children of Israel, he immediately returns to seek in the face of God. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me, church. If God does something marvelous for you in this camp meeting, that does not give you the right, amen, to cruise on the rest of the week. Stay with me. Amen. That does not give you the right to go next week and the week after and the week after that. Don't give you the right to come in on the Sunday morning after camp meeting and say, Pastor, preach your best. I'm probably going to take it easy this morning because God done worked it out. No. Moses said, God, you did that. Amen. But there's going to be another rough mountain. There's going to be another low valley. There's going to be another river to cross. There's going to be giants to face. And if I don't seek your face, if I don't pray, God, we will not make it. Pentecostal service, Brother Switzer, we shout on Sunday night. Amen. Ain't gonna do much on the midweek. Stay with me. I ain't gonna hold you all day. I'm gonna help us this morning. Oh God, help me. Would you lift your hands right now and ask the Holy Ghost to help us this morning? Hallelujah. I feel Him here. I want us to have a fruitful altar service. Amen, Brother John Gann's got us built up to worship Him today. Hallelujah. Oh, but we must be careful. Amen. I got to combat this flesh, Brother Joe. Amen. Brother James, you said, are you bringing something hot? I don't know. It might be cold this morning. Amen. But I've got a war against the flesh that says, hey, it's good enough what God did. You might as well take it easy. But Moses turned his face right back to God and said, Lord, I know you've done it once, but we're going to need you to do it again. And Lord, if you're not with us, we're not going. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He was so fixed on seeing to it that the presence of the Almighty was with him. This really ought to be the mindset of the church. If you don't go, we're not going. But Brother Michael, our church is small. Can I preach to you for just a minute? Amen. I'm not a pastor. I've never been one. Amen. But I've been raised in this all my life. Amen. And I've seen churches that were not big in number. Brother Pepper, our church is small. We've got to do something to bring the crowd in. Hallelujah. We may have to change some stuff up to bring them in. We might have to let down a little bit or pull back a little bit to bring them in. Oh, Brother Gans, I'm telling you what, brother, I've been a part of some small churches. My dad has pastored some little churches. Amen. I preached in some small churches. I preached some revivals where we had no more than 10 people in the congregation. Amen. But the presence and the power of God was there. Amen. If you're here this morning, pastor, and you say, God, my church, it ain't doing nothing right now. Amen. Hold your ground. Stay where you are. Keep on preaching the gospel. Amen. Stand your ground. Don't give up the power of God for prominence and popularity. Hallelujah. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. It ought to be the mindset of the church. If you don't move, we're not moving. Amen. Amen. And if you do move, we're moving. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Switzer, I've been in some camp meetings, and I'm sure you have too. Amen. Or even a young fellow like myself. I turned 35 yesterday. I guess it's downhill from here, right? I don't know. That's what my dad texted me and told me yesterday. Your middle-aged son, it's all downhill from here. Amen. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate that. Oh, yeah, but in my young 35 years, I've been in some services, brother, where even I, the young man, felt the Holy Ghost moving, and I knew He had come to accomplish a task. Oh, yeah, but men were more concerned about prominence. They were more concerned about popularity. They were more concerned about what so-and-so was going to say and what so-and-so was going to think. Amen. That they hindered the working of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what, church, I cannot make it through tomorrow's trial just because of who Bruce Gans is. I cannot make it through tomorrow's river because of who Mike Switzer is. But I can only make it tomorrow if the presence and the power of God is with me and working in my life. Oh, God, help us. Moving with Him is the power of the church. Moving without Him is the plight of the church. I'm going to go, and He goes. If He breathes on us, then we're going to move. Oh. But if I feel the staying hand of the Holy Ghost, that I'm going to hold my ground, because I know in that moment my standing still is my victory. Hallelujah. Amen. My standing still is my victory. Oh, Pentecostal people get scared of standing still. But God would say to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which I will show to you this day. Amen. Listen to me, church. If God tells you to run, then run. But if God tells you not to move, don't move. Oh, but what are they going to say about me? What if I don't get to preach here? Or what if I can't preach there? I come to grips with it, brother. I'm not going to preach everywhere. But God, let me do what I can where I'm at. And let me be sure the presence and the power of God is manifest in my life. Hallelujah. My life. Colin, raise your hand. There's been times, Brother Pepper, God, I say, God, man, created an opportunity for movement. But God said, stay. I'm trying to help you this morning. Amen. God said, stay. And I think sometimes if I had moved on and I had not stayed, amen, yes, have things happened in mine and my wife's life that rocked our world? Yes, you better believe it has. Amen. Have things happened in your life that rocked your world? Yes, it has. And when things were shaking all around me, Brother James Gans, man would say, why don't you move here? Why don't you go here? Why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? Oh, but there was a restriction there. There was a staying hand there. Amen. Although it looked right. Amen. Sometimes pastoring a church can look like the right thing. But if the Holy Ghost is not moving that direction, it can only be the wrong thing. Amen. What if I had moved? Then my little girl may not have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What if I had moved? Then my boy Owen, Brother Bruce Gans, the other night at Iron Post, Brother Switzer, God filled him with the Holy Ghost at 8 years old. What if I had moved? Amen. Or what if I wouldn't have stayed? I'm telling you, I'm more concerned now than I ever have in my life about the presence and the power of God and not prominence or popularity. I'm hurrying. How do you feel about it? What are your thoughts this morning? What is your approach to the presence of God? Are you willing to move? If He doesn't move, well, God is gracious. He'll eventually catch up to me. I don't want to lose you this morning. God's a loving God. He'll eventually catch up. Hallelujah. Oh, God don't always work that way. Oh, yes. There are times, Brother Gans, I believe that God gives us divine windows of opportunity. Amen. And we move or we stay and the window closes. Oh, God, help us to be willing to move if He says to move. If He speaks to you this morning and says it's time to move. I'm not talking about changing your address unless God tells you to do that, okay? Amen. I'm not talking to you about moving to another city. I'm just talking to you about moving with the Holy Ghost. If He directs you in the service to stand up when nobody else is and throw your hands up in the air, amen, you ought to do that. Praise the Lord. If He deals with your heart in the middle of the message to stand up and walk around the church with your hands up in the air shouting glory, if it's really the Holy Ghost, He'll make it known to everybody in the congregation that that's what He told you to do. Amen. You ought not be so afraid
need of moving with the Spirit of God. Amen. Your greatest victory is in your absolute surrender to the Word of the Lord. And if God says to move, brother, you got to move. If God says to run, sister, you got to run. Amen. I am only concerned with going with God.
I don't see His splendor, I'm hurrying. If there is no glimmer of His glory, if there are no mighty manifestations, Brother Switzer, I must withdraw myself to a place of prayer. And I have to say, Lord, have I moved? You did not. Oh, help us, God. Or have I stayed? And You have moved. Oh, I hope I can help you here this morning. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. I got preacher friends. Amen. Yeah. I could do some things. Switch some stuff up. And Mike could do a little more. I might could book it up a little more than it is. Amen. But brother, oh God, my heart has got to be in the right place. Amen. I said my heart's got to be in the right place. And my heart is after God. Amen. If I'm not seeing His splendor, then Brother Gans, I've got to recuse myself from wherever I am and retire somewhere and say, God, I must see You again. If there is no glimmer of His glory, if there is no manifestation of the perfections of His power, then I must go back to the drawing board and say, Lord, have You moved and I stayed? Or have You stayed and I moved? But God, whatever the case, bring me back into right fellowship with You. Hallelujah. Moses understands that there is a great journey ahead. There are rough mountains and dangerous valleys. Church must learn to move when the glory moves. Remain when the glory is still. Hallelujah. The church of today experiences difficulties in large part because we have, I don't know that we've necessarily forgotten or so much as we have just chosen to move at our own pace. Oh, hallelujah. Said Brother Michael, not in the Pentecostal churches. No, not amongst holiness people. We wouldn't dare do such a thing. Oh, don't be so naive. Amen. Because sometimes, we are proud of who we are. And as well we should be. I'm not ashamed to be Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed to believe in holiness. But God help us. Amen. We can so try to protect ourselves with our cloak. Amen. With our speech. But all the while, the presence of the Lord is not with us. How quickly we seem to forget. Amen. That it is God. It was God. And it always will be God that giveth us the victory. Amen. It is not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. You don't have the ability. Amen. You may run off of adrenaline, but anointing comes from the Holy Ghost. God, give us an anointing. I said, God, give us an anointing. Give us power to live right. Give us power to walk right. Let Your presence be among us. God chooses to use us. But that does not mean victory came by us. That is the understanding, Brother Switzer, that Moses had. God chose to use me. But God did not bring this victory because of me. He did it for His own glory. And if God uses you, He'll do it for His own glory. Amen. But Lord, I can't talk right. Amen. Don't worry about that. God's got Aaron. Aaron will take care of that.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I can't do this and I can't do that. Amen. God's not worried about what you think you can and cannot do. All He needs you to concern yourself with is, if you don't go, I'm not going up. Amen. Oh, yeah, we live in a church world today where everybody's trying to go up, up, up. Brother Joe Gans, amen, we went to Bible school together. But if I got to step on your forehead, amen, to get higher up the ladder, then that's what I'll do, right? Brother James Gans, amen. Yeah, whatever I got to do, brother, amen, to preach something that you don't preach, that's what some folks will do. We're trying to go up, trying to go up. But Moses said, Lord, if you don't go up, I'm not going up. Amen. If you don't move, I'm not moving. Hallelujah. I don't care what it costs me. If you don't say it, if you don't bid me, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Hallelujah. His glory. How much longer? How much longer? His glory. What we need for where we're at. Glory belongs to Him. I wish I could preach better this morning. Ephesians 1:17 says He is the Father of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says He is the Lord of glory. The psalmist would proclaim to us that He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads. Oh, you guys. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, oh, you gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And then the question is posed, who is this King of glory? Well, let me tell you who He is. Hallelujah. The Lord. Amen. The Lord strong, hallelujah, and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. You know what that word means? Stop. Pause. Think about what you just read. I want you to think about it for a second. Who do we need among us? We need the King of glory. The Father of glory. The Lord of glory. Moses knew. I've got to have Him. I can't go without Him. I've got to have Him. Or we cannot move. God, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. We've got to guard. We've got to guard His glory. God would give the glory to Moses. I hope I don't want to lose you. God would give the glory to Moses. But it was Moses' responsibility. Not going unless you go. We like to put all responsibility on God. God, if you want to save them, then Lord, you'll do it. Young boy, little Mike Spitzer. Amen. Grew up in a church that ran around 200 feet in Jacksonville, Florida. Powerhouse.
dynamic church. I'm telling you, the power of God was moving there. Yeah. And we had camp meeting every year. And the last year that we had that meeting, Brother Tim Hudson came and preached the nights. And he preached a message one night on what's in the suitcase. And I'm hurrying up here. What's in the suitcase? And he preached about Ichabod having departed. And I remember that night so well. Brother Gans, when he picked up that suitcase and he stepped down the stairs of that platform and he started to make his way down that aisle with his head down, Brother Gans, amen, and tears streaming down his face. He said, I'm on my way out. Does anybody care enough to keep me here? And he got about right here, Joe. And you've seen my dad, big old 6'7" guy. Amen. He weighed, he's done gotten up to a big old weight of like 220 pounds. He was still weighing about 205 back then. They called him Sticks on the basketball court. Amen. But Brother Switzer, he got about right here. And my tall, lanky 6'7" daddy stood up in his pew. And he turned around, and Brother Joe Gans, he grabbed Brother Hudson, and he said, my dad's not an emotional guy. He's a German descent. He doesn't laugh much until the grandkids came along. I'm thinking, Dad, did I not do anything funny ever to make you laugh? Amen. Oh, but he's not that kind of guy. But Brother Joe, with tears streaming down his face, he began to shout out, don't leave us. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. I'm telling you, I'm not here to throw stones. But that church today, 215 years ago, will do good to have 12 on a Sunday now. Oh, what happened? There was not enough concern with guarding the glory of God. Listen to me, church. I know we're not all from the same building, but we're all in the same body. We must guard the glory of God. Don't let sin, we cannot let compromise drive him away. 1 Samuel, it was sin that pushed him out of the house of God. Sin and compromise will always create a distance between us and him. We are deceived if we believe that our standards in and of itself will deserve the presence of God. I believe hope. There was which I remember years ago in the kids' community, and I was not confused. God knows that self-confidence is not going to be. God's holy. Sadly mistaken this morning. I'm not trying to kill this message here today. Oh, that is not all you must have. If you have a standard but you have no spirit, then you are empty. You are a sounding brass. You are a tinkling cymbal. Amen. You have nothing. You are advertising a banquet when there is no food to eat. Oh, God, keep the glory, Lord. Let us keep the glory. And I'm going to step out on a limb here and tell you I have seen expressions of Pentecost where there was no endowment of power. you kicked me right there. Amen. I've seen expressions of Pentecost when I knew there was no endowment of power. I've seen them run. I've heard them speak in tongues. Amen. The devil can mimic. Listen to me this morning. You cannot let your expression of Pentecost convince you that's the only thing you need to preserve God's presence among us. No, we've got to do what Moses did. Lord, whatever you do, that's what I'm doing. Stand with me this morning. I'll close with this. I was praying this morning. Come back tonight, I promise you. Jeremiah's praying this morning. We're doing this again. I hope you preach all over the country. I'm not going to do this. We've got people that have asked me, I've gone on. Are you and Joe Gans, buddy? I don't know if that's a compliment or I don't know. Saying, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that those that nobody does. Don't misconstrue what I'm trying to say. But I was praying this morning. The Lord spoke to me. My in-laws have a man who has a father. He was a wonderful man. Beautiful husband. Good husband. Sorry, I preached too long this morning. There was a time when this preacher boy of God, that I wanted all of them. God, if I can get to this point, but I believe in you, I stay in you, stay. Church, we need your sweet presence for the time. I preached my faith to you this morning. Can we find us a place to pray? Is that all right, Pastor? We need to come before him as an individual this morning and say, God, I need your presence. But we also need to come before him as a body and say, Lord, we need.